Welcome to the We Hack Purple podcast, where each week we meet with a different member of the information security industry to talk with them about their job, how they got to where they are today, and how you can too. We Hack Purple is not only a podcast, we are an online community and especially an academy. This week's episode is sponsored by 10 Security, and I'm going to tell you a lot more about them as time goes on. But for now, I know what you all want. You just want to meet my guest. So let's bring out Jess Dodson. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so whenever I start, I usually do the whole thing where I'm like, please tell us your name and your job title and a bit about your job.
So my name is Jess Dodson. I am more commonly known online as Girl Germs, so I am very prolific on the Twitters. My job title is Customer Engineer, which it's changed recently. I originally started as a Premier Field Engineer, but I'm now a Customer Engineer, and I work for Microsoft. So I am a boots on the ground engineer helping customers with Microsoft products.
That is cool. We had someone else where she was a sales engineer and it was sort of different. And we had another person who was a customer success engineer. And I like how they're all slightly different. And also I like it when people tell me how they get their jobs. So I'm a super curious person. And the thing that, someone's saying, and surely a 10-10 winner by Room Raider. I don't know what that means, but yeah. I like to know what it's like to do a job, like what the cool parts are, what the not cool parts are. And like, I'm really curious about how people get to where they are. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
My job's weird. My job is very weird how I fell into my job.
Yeah. Can you describe your job to us, like, or maybe like what a day like is in the life of your job?
So my job, I spend most of my days, it used to be I would go and travel to customers, not so much these days. I haven't actually traveled in 18 months. And I'm not going to lie, I do like that. I like being able to work from home and not have to wear pants. It's lovely. But most of my time is spent going and traveling to customers and speaking to customers. So at the moment, that's been remote via exactly like this. I talk via webcam and via audio in meetings to my customers where I am teaching them or assisting them with bettering their security posture using Microsoft products. So my days recently are almost 100% Azure Sentinel. That's pretty much what I have been living and breathing for the last 18 months. So that's a day in the life of my job.
Do they have trials of that yet? Because they didn't when it first came out. And I'm wondering, no, of course not. Because that would be so good. Oh, yeah. Other people in the chat are agreeing that your background and your room's totally awesome. So, you know,
thank you.
Other people love your room.
Yes, this is my happy place.
It's good. That's good. Okay, so you are the boss of Sentinel. Got it. Okay, so
you're like Sentinel, do this. Yeah, in my little patch of the woods. So I'm one of the customer engineers based out of Australia and New Zealand who helps customers in my little patch look after Sentinel.
That's awesome. Also, Australia is awesome. And I've never been to Brisbane, but I would really like to fix that sometime. I know. I've been
Come
to
visit
Sydney
us.
And I went to Melbourne. They're both awesome. But all I hear is, well, you haven't been to Brisbane. So like, what have you really done with your life?
Agreed. I do agree. You haven't seen the best parts yet.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's pretty amazing. Okay. Back to the matter at hand, Tanya. Stay on track. Okay. No, it's me. So what types of personality traits do you think someone would need to be able to do your job? Because before you used to have to travel all the time and now you don't need to travel all the time.
It's really interesting, actually. I've been having some discussions recently about what makes a good customer engineer. So from my perspective, you need to be good at teaching and not necessarily doing. So I find that because my job involves helping people understand how to use the tools the best in their environment, that it's that teaching. We are not in sales. I don't do sales. I am a salesperson's worst nightmare when it comes to like security stuff. I'm like, I don't care what you're using as long as you're using something. So it's awful. But teaching them how to use what they have to the best of their ability. So being able to understand and very quickly grasp what an organization is trying to do, and learn very quickly what an organization's motives are from a security perspective is really important.
Oh, that's fantastic. I wish that everyone did that, because quite often it's just like, you have to do it our way or the highway.
No.
Have you ever heard a salesperson be like, well, you're using it wrong? It's like, well, I'm giving you money and I want to use the product and I could think it can do this. So like, what, do you not want my money or what's going on?
And that is very much like, my job is to try and find ways to utilize what they have, what they're paying for, in the best way possible within their infrastructure. Because we've got so many different security tools, security products, security appliances. How do we integrate them together to give the best bang for buck for your socks? That's what I want to do.
Yeah. How long does it take to learn all these tools? Because you know a whole bunch of them now. And that takes time. Like, are you a really super quick learner?
I am, but I would preface that with, I don't know everything. So it's one of those ones where you go into security and you're like, do you know about this or do you know about that? I'm like, I know these bits in deep, but there are other tools that I don't know anything about. So it depends on like what tool. So for me, Azure Sentinel, I know a fair bit. I wouldn't say I am like Jedi level master, but I've got a fair bit of experience and I've got some expertise in it because I've been using it so much and I've implemented it or helped implement it with a number of organizations. But like something like cloud app security, I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I'm sorry, you'll have to speak to somebody else. I'm willing to admit that I don't know everything.
Oh yeah. Well, no one can know everything. Like that's no. Impossible.
Having that quick learning is really, really important. So you can pick up on things and wanting to learn is probably more exciting. So if you are keen to learn and want to learn, then my role is really exciting.
Cool. Do you love learning? Because I have a feeling to do your job well, you'd have to love learning.
Yeah. Loving being able to poke new things, loving being able to try out new things. For me as well, I also get a lot of excitement because I am very what's known as transactional. So I don't stick with the same customer every single time. I deal with different customers each time. So learning new organizations, meeting new people, understanding their business, because it could be a completely different range of businesses. So that's really exciting for me as well.
Does this mean, so like a thing with sales, when we talked to the sales engineer, she was really, really shy and really introverted. And then she ended up super blossoming into sales and she was telling us all about it. And I'm like, that sounds so hard, but I've always been ridiculously extroverted. And so how do you feel about this? Cause like you seem pretty darn extroverted.
I am somewhat extroverted, but at the same time, I find that because I'm now dealing with new people every time and having to like take on that almost like that mediator kind of perspective of having to get people to be talking and get people to participate. By the end of the week, I'm just peopled out. Just like on the weekend, I'm very, very introverted. I'm like, that's it. I'm not seeing anyone. I'm not going anywhere. I'm hiding in my bedroom and watching TV.
Yeah. Yeah. I think though that like there's a myth that extroverts always, always, always want to be surrounded by people. It's like, we do need alone time, right? Like,
yeah, definitely.
Right. I honestly had never seen my limits until, I was traveling and speaking at conferences so much that I was just like, oh, wow. And I remember being at a conference that I really love, but I needed a break. So I went 2 or 3 blocks away to a Starbucks and because I had some work emails to do. And I was like, I'm going to like do this thing for my boss. And then a guy came up and he's like, oh, I'm from the conference. I saw you. And then he sits down and I'm like, oh, I kind of have some work to do. And he's like, like, why are you ignoring me? And I was like, but I need some, and he was just like, ah, oh, she's such a jerk. I was just like, what? Like, I'm like 4 blocks away from the conference. Like, I don't, what? And I was just like, I think I need to hide. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've had that. I've had that going to conferences, and there are people who are coming up to you who you've met online, and they want to talk to you, and it's like it's usually fine for a short period of time, and then after a while, you're just like, I just want to hide with safe people for a little while, just so I don't have to perform almost. So yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're not super super extroverted. It's just there's a buffer, and the buffer's full.
Yeah. And you can't be extroverted all the time. Like it's not possible. And for my job and for the role that I do kind of have to be extroverted. I have to be on and trying to engage the customer as much as possible. And it's a lot of talking. So I'm never sitting at my desk really without a drink bottle. And if I am, it's usually empty because I've drunk it all. Because you talk so much that you end up actually going hoarse. Like I lose my voice by Thursday.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. So much. Yes. Sorry. That is happening here. Do you think that someone that's really, really shy would be able to excel at your job, or maybe they would be able to do it, but not be super pleased about it?
No, absolutely. I think the reason that people excel at this job is because they're passionate about the technology that they're helping people with. So you don't have to be an extrovert to be good at it. If you love the tech that you're working with and you're really passionate about it, you're going to do really, really well. So you don't have to be an extrovert to do this job.
Okay. That's awesome. That's super helpful. I totally have way more questions, just to be clear.
We keep getting distracted. It's fine.
I know. I'm really good at that though, just to be clear. Getting distracted is my specialty. I'm trying really hard not to talk about making drones that have chainsaws attached to them for the whole session, because I was cutting a tree down and there was like this really high branch we couldn't get. And I was like, don't you wish we had a drone? And then my significant other was just like, you're never allowed a drone if you think you're going to attach a chainsaw to it. And I'm just like plotting on my own, like, how much is a drone?
I could totally do this.
I know, right? I'm like, otherwise we have to like climb up in the tree. It's like so hard. I'm like, but the drone, anyway. Okay, on track. So,
sorry. Away from the drones.
Drones are cool. Okay, so what types of technical skills do you think someone would need to try to get into a job that's like yours? Like, are there certain like bases they could cover? Or
yeah, so in order to be able to do this kind of a role, and it's really cool actually, I've actually been involved in interviewing for people coming into my position, which has been really awesome. So from my perspective, the technical skills you need, you really need a good base understanding of security, security operations, security products, security terminology, but also identity. So a lot of the work we do ties really tightly to identity-based stuff. So understanding identity principles and authentication paths and protocols. So that is that technical grounding that you need to be able to understand how all the pieces kind of interact. And I think if you've got that, pretty much any type of engineer role can sit on top of that. It's very platform and product agnostic. As long as you've got those basics, you could then become an engineer pretty much anywhere.
Oh. ever since I switched from dev to security, I'm like, why is it always identity? Like everything ties into identity. Every single thing just ends up, and it's like, well, but identity. So yeah, I had to learn that pretty fast. Like as a dev, I knew it was a thing, but it's just like a big part of everything. Okay. I like this.
So that kind of ties in. Yeah. So that kind of ties in nicely to how I got the job. So I was an identity systems administrator first. So I was a sysadmin for about 15 years, predominantly focusing on identity systems. So I was looking after large Active Directory environments. And that was how I kind of fell into this. So I was originally an identity engineer that just kind of sidestepped into security because they tie so neatly together.
They do. What was the trigger? Was there like a specific thing that happened, or did we slowly lure you over with all of our cookies? Like how did that work?
The cookies helped. No, it was, I was doing some work at my previous role doing an Active Directory security assessment. And I have a lovely gentleman by the name of Russell Tompkins to blame, who was an engineer with Microsoft who came in and did that assessment. And I realized that there was so much that was red and broken. And I'm like, oh my God, we have to fix this. And so I went up to our security team, and our security team are like, we're governance and policy. We don't do any of that operation stuff. And I'm like, so we have to actually do something about this. So I went down the path of having to try and fix up some of this stuff and learning more about the security of the systems and how to do it better. I started speaking about it. So I spoke at a conference. I spoke at Ignite. No, was it Ignite or TechEd back then? I can't remember. At here in Australia on the Gold Coast about Active Directory security. And that kind of led me down the path of identity commingled with security and then now just security, really.
It's good we could lure you to the dark side. It's good. We need all the help we could get.
And you have cookies.
We do. We really do. I feel like at some point I should have cookies beside me, but then I'll probably just eat
Look,
them.
Cookies.
And then our sound engineer will be like, Tanya, you can't actually eat the cookies. It's actually allowed to eat a cookie when you, anyway. Okay, so I have more questions. So what if someone, so like what types of, like is there, so if there isn't, it's okay, but is there specific training or specific work experience someone could try to get so they could kind of like lead up to this type of job? So sometimes people are like, yeah, you take this course, read this book, you do this, but that's when you want to become an accountant. But it's not the same with security things. So any hints or clues on how someone could try to get there would be good.
I'm very much of the mindset that I don't think you need a very structured learning path to get into security. I think security is one of those things that people find that they are interested in or passionate about, and it's almost like a sidestep to get into it. So for me, I would say if you have an interest in security and it's something that you feel that you are wanting to get into or are passionate about, you could start by joining some user groups and attending some local user groups or virtual ones, have a read of some stuff online, do some online courses, and take a look at what you're currently doing in your role. So for me, I feel almost like a teacher. So I feel that anyone who's been in any kind of a teaching position, be it formal teaching or student lecturing or all of that kind of stuff, could quite easily do my job if they can get those technical aspects up to speed and also have that passion for it. So I don't think you need a very specific background to be able to do security work. On the flip side to that, though, I feel that for security people, anyone who has operational background or operational experience, so has been a system administrator or a help desk admin or has been in the trenches, as I call it, you've got a really unique view of security from the point of view of building the systems, maintaining the systems, and the usability of it. So security is great, provided that we're still able to use those systems. So seeing it from a user's perspective. And I think a lot of the time we miss that. Like, it's great if it's secure, but if you can't use it, what's the point?
Yes. So much yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I remember in the Canadian government, someone saying years ago, they had talked to the cyber arm, and one of the people said, well, if we could just unplug them from the internet, we wouldn't have all these problems. But they weren't kidding. They were like really deadpan. And the dev's like, so no. do you have actual suggestions?
Yeah, like we all make those jokes. Wouldn't our lives be great if we had no users? Yes, but then we wouldn't have a job. So it's, yeah.
It's so true. Okay, so I feel like part of what you're saying too, like, or part of your experiences is like, if you have a different job in tech, if you like volunteer to do that security work, you could gain job experience in that area. And before you know it, it's like, hey, don't you need a person on the security team? I know someone who might be interested.
Yeah, who could fit in that role. And I think it's very much that, and I hate the buzzwords, you know, like when they start talking about like DevSecOps, I hate it when they try and mush it together. But security operations for me is really that. So it's operations staff who are passionate about security and are passionate about either helping security do it better or are passionate from that security perspective but want to understand the operational role. So, yeah, I think it's really important to get both sides of the picture.
Yeah, I feel too like it would be really hard to be good at security if you didn't understand where the people are coming from who actually own and operate and create the thing that you're trying to secure, right? Like a locksmith that doesn't understand doors or handles or the fact that people need to get in and out. It's just like, oh, well, I switched the
lock. That's exactly it.
But no one has the key, buddy.
Well, it's to me, I think of it in exactly those terms. Like from a security perspective, the easiest way to secure a room is to literally take away all the handles so no one can get in, but it removes the usability of the door. And security needs to be very aware that the products that we're using and the security assessments and tools that we're trying to put in place, we can't block what our users are trying to do. They're just going to go around us.
Yes. Yes. Everyone listen to Jess. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did.
Okay, that's awesome. I should have that as a sticker.
Yes. Yes. Listen to Jess. Okay. So very briefly, I'm going to thank our sponsor because it is that time of the podcast. I want to thank our sponsor. So it is not the sponsor we've had for the past several months. We have a new sponsor with our previous sponsor's blessing, just to be clear. 10 Security. So 10 Security, some of the people, the amazing volunteers who created Defect Dojo, they are 10 Security. And guess what they do? They implement Defect Dojo all over the planet. And so 10 Security has sponsored our podcast and a whole bunch, a whole plethora of people going through our diversity scholarship. So thank you, Greg. Thank you, Matt. We really appreciate you. And also, the secure coding course is coming out any day now. So we're actually doing the final third round of QA starting tomorrow morning. And ideally, next week, we make all of the fixes if anyone finds anything, and then we go live the following Monday. Yes, or maybe on the weekend, depending upon how well QA goes. So look up academy.wehackpurple.com and very, very soon. Oh, yes. And one more thing. So if you go to newsletter.wehackpurple.com/secure-coding-course, you can sign up between now and I guess when we go live, which might be next week or might be Monday, depending upon how good QA, because we're doing a third QA. So usually we're pretty good by then. But anyway, you get 20% off if you sign up in advance and you buy in the first week. So that is enough advertising and marketing for now. Thank you for your patience, Jess.
All good. So, totally understand.
So I want to ask the cheese question. So this is called the cheese question because I grew up really poor. And then when I became a software developer, I remember being in the grocery store one day and like I wanted to buy cheese and I was like looking at two different cheese and they both look super delicious. I like really love cheese. And I was like, oh, I don't know which one I should get. And then I realized that I made enough money, I could buy both. And that I didn't even have to like count all the pennies for my groceries that week. I could just buy groceries and just get the foods I wanted. And it's like, it blew my mind. And when people are selecting which careers they want to work in, for some of them, how much money people make is important. So does your role pay well? And like, that's kind of according to you, if that makes sense. Because being a software dev is pretty good.
Yeah. And I do feel that my job pays very, very well. So when I won't give explicit details on NDA and all that junk, so I came from a public sector. And I was working 4 days a week part-time after I came back from having my daughter. So I was working 4 days a week. And then I got my offer to come and work for Microsoft to work 5 days a week. That extra day literally doubled my income. So jumping across made a big difference to my quality of life and the amount of money that I was earning. I am very happy with how much I am being paid. I feel I am probably paid too well. I mean, no. I'm send me more money. That's absolutely.
Pay Jess more. Pay Jess more, just to be clear.
Yes. But in terms of like my quality of life, I'm very big on I've got a roof over my head. I can pay my bills. I can put food on the table. Anything else above that is extra. And I have a lot of extra, as you can tell by all the Lego that I have. So that's what I tend to spend my money on.
Would you say that this type of job generally in our industry pays well? Because sometimes it's like, I'll see like someone that's at like one of the big five tech companies and it's like, well, yeah, but they work there. And so they do better there. Is this like across the board? This is like a pretty decent paying role.
Yeah. So I think my role is an interesting one. I've seen it in a couple of other places, but it's more kind of tied to consulting as well. So you see consultants doing this kind of work as well. And I think consultants who are doing that teaching aspect, they are still paid, even if they're not coming from one of the big five, they are still paid very well for their industry and they are still paid. I have not. Loud bang. It's good.
It wasn't me for once. So this is great.
It's probably my cat knocking something over. It's fine. But yeah, no, I think that they are paid really, really well. Just because I think it comes down to that you have to learn very, very quickly. You have to adapt to change very, very quickly. You have to learn on the job as well. So like dealing with new customers very, very quickly, adapting to changing environments of jumping from one customer to another customer to another. So yeah. I can kind of see why the role does have that benefit.
Cool. No, that's awesome. Because I feel that some of us have been really surprised by the answers on which different roles pay more or less. And all of us want to be security architects by now, just so you know. Apparently they just roll around in money. They're like, oh, the paper cuts. There's just all these $100 bills.
Oh, that would be nice. That would be nice. Oh, what a life. But,
are there a lot of opportunities in your field? Like if someone wants to get in it, do you think it'll be really hard to find a job? Or do you think like with the right experience, there are lots of opportunities?
In security at the moment, I don't think there's a problem. It's just a matter of whether you have the right level of experience for what people are looking for. So I think people are looking for experience at the moment. They are looking not necessarily for green engineers, so people who are very fresh and very new, but for people who are, say, maybe 1 or 2 years in, I think there's plenty of opportunities. We have such a shortage of skilled security engineers at the moment that everyone is clamoring for them. I know that we were hiring just recently. We hired, I think, 2-3 new people at least just into my team. So it's one of those positions. Yeah, everyone wants to become an architect, so they all bugger off and become architects. So we're trying to find more engineers to take the place of the people who become architects.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. How could someone like try to get experience so that then they could qualify for a job like this? I know that this is the chicken and the egg question, but...
A little. I think doing that if you're in operations or working in like a help desk role or even in a dev role and you're starting to look at security as something that is of interest to you, of trying to either speak to your security or governance team and helping out in ways that you can or finding things that you can be doing, looking at doing, I hate saying it, but looking at doing certifications because they always look nice when you're looking at a resume and they're one of those extra checkboxes. So things like your CISSP and from a Microsoft perspective, I've got the AZ500, so the Azure Security Engineer. There are some new ones that we've come out with. So SOC analysts and identity engineers, identity security engineers. So those kind of exams may play into it as well if you're looking at that base level trying to jump in. So things like that can be of use.
Cool. Aren't there a lot of kind of like free resources on Microsoft Learn maybe, or?
Microsoft Learn has a ton. So for all of those exams that we've got, there's a whole range of like paths that are free learning resources for you to use in order to be able to get skilled up. So you don't have to go and pay thousands of dollars to go and sit a course. You can learn yourself.
We like this. We like this. Cool. Very cool. Okay, so I have super tough questions now. They're very serious and tough, Jess. Okay. What do you like best about your job?
I like dealing. This one for me is not tough. So I've actually had to sit and think about this a little bit as to whether I'm in the right position, and I am. I love dealing with customers either on a one-to-one or a one-to-a-few and getting that click moment. I like seeing a customer understand a solution or an idea or a tool and go, I finally get it. I understand what I need to do, or have that moment of, this is amazing. I know how I can use this in my environment or in my infrastructure. That's what I love.
Oh, that was an easy answer. Okay. So second follow-up, way tougher question. What do you like the least? I'm always surprised by these answers.
So this one for me, it's kind of good now because I don't have a least favorite now, but pre-COVID for me was travel. So I was traveling up to 50% of a month, and I have a young daughter. So my daughter is 3.5. And so traveling and being away from her for me was really, really hard. So the silver lining of COVID for me has meant that I've been home and working from home for the last 18 months. So I've been here the entire time, and it's been amazing.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that too. So many things have changed. Like, I know that obviously people dying and being sick is really awful, and
it's horrible.
Neither of us are understating that. But yeah, I have really enjoyed not traveling and just like staying at home and spending time with people I love.
And I'm really hoping that this is going to shift that mindset of, you have to have a bum on a seat to prove that they are doing a job. Like, we can work remotely. And I don't feel that the customers that I've worked with have lost out at all having me remotely. In fact, I think it's probably been beneficial for them because I work probably longer hours because I'm at home. I don't have a commute. I can start at like 8:30 in the morning to look at all my emails. So I can start bang with them at 9 or 9:30, and I can keep going through till 7 o'clock at night. Like, it's not a problem because I'm not having that commute. So I'm hoping that going forward, that there will be less of a push for us to have to travel on site and do more of these remote type engagements and calls rather than having to go on site.
Yeah. Yeah. That is definitely a plan that I have going forward, to just travel for the super special occasions and the rest of the time do things remotely. And also then the costs are lower, right? Like,
oh my God,
it's a huge expense to, I remember my travel budget at a previous place that I worked that will remain unnamed. It was astronomical. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you wasted this much money, like putting me on an airplane when I could have just called, or do you know what I mean? I'm just like, it wasn't me paying it. So I'm like, okay.
And that's my feeling as well. Like, it is such a waste of money to have me go that when I can do it just as easily from here and I'm more comfortable, which means you're going to get a better experience from me delivering it rather than me living out of a suitcase, which I hate.
Well, and also on top of that, think about all of the time that you're traveling and then you can't get work done, right? So if you travel across the continent, like, that's a day there and a day back, totally shot, plus potentially a morning of like the time zone, jet lag. Yeah. And so you end up wasting like all this tons of time and a lot of money. And it's like, you know, I could have just like sent you a Zoom or a Teams link and like we could have been up in 5 minutes.
Exactly. Exactly. And particularly for some of those short ones as well. Like, you travel for a day for a meeting that's going to be an hour. It's like, why did I fly 2 hours for a meeting that's only for like an hour or 2 hours, and then fly home? Like, you waste an entire day on one meeting.
Yeah. And like, I don't know how to explain, but sometimes like, is it really worth sending me? Like, couldn't you do better stuff with me? I am like a resource that could do other stuff. Just saying. Yeah.
Agreed.
I get you. I actually saw one tech company post that 30% of their devs quit over coming back to work. And they're like, we don't need them. And I was like, wow, your attitude is really awesome. I bet that they quit for a bunch of reasons and not just that.
I bet you've got lots of people clamoring to come back.
Yeah. Especially with, I don't know. I would be really sad if my employees left, but we've always been remote first at We Hack Purple. So that's not an issue. But that's
awesome.
Well, it's great, 'cause then I can have the best. I mean, like, we only hire within Canada because like there's like laws and stuff, but it's cool. No, but it's cool to be able to hire someone from 5,000, like one of our employees lives 5,000 kilometers away, and it's cool. We just don't have meetings with her like past a certain time, and that's fine. But okay, I have more questions for you. So
sorry.
question. So this is like different than what do you like best. So what gives you the most pride about the work that you do?
Pride. I've got to admit, I'm getting into Microsoft was probably one of my big like goals. Like it's something that I wanted to do. So for me, knowing that I work for Microsoft and knowing that they are looking after me. So I've been very, very lucky. My manager is phenomenal in looking after me, and particularly through COVID and keeping tabs, making sure your mental health's been good. That to me, I think, is what gives me the most amount of pride. And I know that there are people who might not have that experience. Everyone's very, very different. But for me, I've been very lucky that my entire management chain has been incredibly supportive. And that's what gives me pride. So I've felt a very, very lucky to be where I am during the pandemic. Very lucky.
And it must feel awesome to be part of a team that, like, I feel if the manager is checking in on you, it's because they really value you, right? Like,
absolutely.
They care how you are. And, like, you're part of a team where they're like, she matters.
Yeah, so my, my one-on-ones with my manager have been things like we'll start the one-on-one and he'll be like, and how are things going? And I'll start talking, like, about my work and my customers and my utilization. He's like, no. How are you going? How are you feeling? And that to me is what makes working somewhere really good. If you've got a manager who actually cares about you, it makes such a difference.
Yeah, that's nice. That's really good. Yeah. And also I have heard that they have lots of really awesome benefits as well to like try to support their employees and make sure they're healthy and good.
Like, yes. So lots of benefits in terms of we got wellness days this year, which has been amazing. They encourage you to sort of stay well from a mental health perspective and staying fit. So there's a lot of push to make sure that the people are okay.
I think that's awesome. And I wish that more corporations were like that, because like to me, your employees are your best resource. Like if we lose an employee at We Hack Purple, there's not very many of us, right? And it's just like, it hits really hard. But if even when I've been at a bigger company, like when someone leaves, it's like, but we need you. And so if you like do all those things to keep them healthy, keep them happy, like check in with them, make sure they're okay. Like I wish that all organizations did this. I think it's really great.
And it means that you retain people. People actually have that vested interest in wanting to hang around.
Yeah. I've heard the expression, you don't quit a job, you quit managers.
Agreed. 100% agree.
And like, you'll stay for a wonderful manager too. Like you'll want to keep, like I twice have had a manager leave and then bring me with them because like,
lovely.
It's like such a good match, right? Like I remember one of them, like, so I went back to school and then when I graduated, he's like, so when you coming over, got a job. And I was like, okay. And then, like, and the other one just kept checking in with me for like 2 years until I was like, okay, well, you're right. I didn't really like switching from .NET over to SAP. So that was a foolish time in my life. And then he was like, come back and or like, come over. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll be right there. Like it's a good feeling. Definitely.
And I do feel like managers definitely do play a role in that. But I also think, so for me, when I've changed roles, so I've only changed roles. I've changed roles a couple of times. It's either been from a manager perspective or from a hitting a ceiling. There is nowhere further for me to go, nowhere further for me to grow, nowhere further for me to learn. And when you hit that and there's nowhere else for you to go, like you have to leave, like there is nowhere else to go. So I've hit that in a couple of places now where it's like you can't offer me any better role. You can't offer me any better pay. You can't offer me any better learning experiences. I'm out.
Yeah, that is actually why I left the Canadian government. I was in the highest technical role for a decade. And at the 8-year mark,
wow,
they don't give you any more raises.
Yep.
You get no raises for the rest of your life.
That's insane. And that's insane. So I'd hit the top level of where I was at public service here in Australia. I was in state government, and I'd been at the top of my band for 4 years, and they'd been promising me another position and another position. They'd never come. And I'm like, peace out, I'm gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried management and was like, it was so awful. And I tried it 3 times just to see if like maybe it was that one. I was like, oh, I'll try supervisor. I was just like, no, it's so awful. And so, yeah. So then I was like, okay, so I have to leave now, and then moved on. So I have more questions, of course. So let's say someone's like, so they love security, they're super interested, and they want to try to get into a similar role to this. What actionable advice could you give them? Like a thing that they could go and do after listening to this podcast?
So particularly for people who are based, for me, in Australia, I highly recommend going and taking a look at a lot of the talks that have just been published by AusCert. So I recently attended the AusCert 2021 conference, and there were a whole range of speakers there speaking on all sorts of different security, be it app security, operational security, governance, policy, whatever. So going off and taking a look at the videos there, because that'll at least give you an idea maybe of where you want to go in that journey. I also think taking a look at a lot of the Microsoft Learn content is going to be fantastic. So when you're looking at what kind of a path you want to take, at least having a dabble in some of those Microsoft Learn courses to see if there's a particular exam you might want to sit, or if there is a specific job title you're aiming for, you can kind of see what experience and what skills you need in order to be able to do that.
Cool. Cool. I like this. And I love free resources because I like to learn stuff too. Even if I might not work somewhere anymore, I still kind of like to keep my chops sharp. So that's cool.
And the Learn content, like it is, I know a number of people who work in the Learn team, and the stuff that they are putting in there is amazing, and they are constantly updating it because they want people to learn. That's the one thing that I love about the people in the Learn team. They really want people to learn. Probably why I get along with them so well.
Well, I feel like if you're going to be in a job where knowledge sharing is the main component of your job, if you don't love learning and you don't love sharing knowledge, it's going to be like, I have to teach. You know, like those people where they're like, I have to repeat myself. This is the end of the world. I'm like, no, then I'm going to repeat myself in a new way. Because the way that I said it the first time didn't get across. I'll explain it a brand new way, right? Like, yeah.
And I'm big on knowledge sharing because I think harboring knowledge and keeping knowledge to yourself is just a way to make yourself a martyr and mean that you never get holidays, you never get weekends off, you never get to leave. So sharing information with as many people as possible. I feel that our jobs are, and our mission is to almost automate ourselves out of jobs. We're trying to get to a point where we can get people to do the things that we're telling them to do and get the systems to do the things that we're asking them to do without us needing to be involved. I want to be able to sit here with a drink and watch things just work.
Yes. So people who are listening who can't see, Jess was on the opening keynote panel with James Young and Tony Kinzelman and Casey Ellis at the AusCert 2021. And we have the link here, and we're going to put the link also in the show notes. So if you're listening and you're like, I want to check Jess out, she not only spoke there, she was on another panel and she gave her own talk. So you definitely want to go and check out the videos. So AusCert hasn't put all of them up yet, but they have put a whole bunch of them up. And I mean, it's awesome. So you want to go, the end. You want to go watch.
You do.
Yeah, exactly.
The speed debate at the end of the conference was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. It was so much fun. So I highly recommend checking that one out.
Nice, nice. So what, okay, so this is like the last serious question. So if you were going to give advice to someone, so let's say someone, you know, they message you after this on Twitter, follow Jess on Twitter. It's @girlgerms. But let's say they message you and they're like, I am so interested in getting a role like yours someday. What like trick or tip or advice would you give them?
soak up as much knowledge as you can about the things that you are passionate about. So you may not necessarily be interested in exactly what I'm interested in. Find what you are passionate about in security and soak up as much knowledge about that as you possibly can, because that passion is what shines through when you are interviewing for roles. So if it's something that you are passionate about, you almost light up, you almost come alive when you're talking about it. And that is what allows someone who is looking to hire you see that this is something that you're going to do well at. So that to me is my big one. Try and find what you're passionate about and focus on that. Learn as much about that as you possibly can.
I think that that's probably just general awesome life advice. Yeah. Like just as it applies to anything, like if you really, really love this thing and you're really passionate about it, learn everything about it. That seems just generally brilliant.
I think I am very, very lucky in that I fulfilled what my parents wanted for me, which is find a job you love so that you like getting up of a morning. And I am very, very lucky that I have that.
Oh, that's awesome. My parents wanted me to procreate and they are going to wait a long time. But anyway.
I went and did that. And don't get me wrong, she's lovely. I absolutely love her to bits, but she is a mini me and she's going to be a headache until she becomes an adult and moves out.
You're like, how dare you be just like me?
Oh, I was talking to someone about it this morning. I'm like, I love that you've got my passion and my drive and my lack of patience and my absolute stubbornness, but I wish there was a switch where I could turn it off until you're an adult, because right now it's driving me nuts.
You're like, Mom, I have so much more respect for you.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. So if someone wants to know more about you, if they want to follow you, where can they find you? Do you have a website? Tell us all the best things.
I do. So probably the best place to come and find me is on Twitter, where I rant, unless I get locked again. I got locked for a day, 12 hours there. I was bereft. I was just cast adrift. It was terrible.
How?
I posted a meme in their algorithm. This is why AI and machine learning is not going to take over the world, because it flagged a meme that I posted and went, this is bad. And then almost instantaneously said, no, wait a second, this isn't bad, but they didn't remove the ban. So I was gone for 12 hours. It was very disappointing for me. But yes, so I'm on Twitter as @girlgerms, and you can also find me at girl-germs.com. So that's my personal website. I need to post some more blogs when I get the time between wrangling a small human and my job.
That is a lot. You're like wrangling the human and you're trying to type with the other hand. It's a lot.
I have actually done that, being on a call with her beside me, hugging me. It's a lot of fun.
But COVID has made that more normal now, and that's really awesome.
It has. And my customers are really, really understanding as well. Like, they're used to seeing like the small person just wander in through the door and, hi, Mom, I'm home. And then disappearing back downstairs or bringing me snacks. She likes bringing me snacks when I'm on a call, which is hilarious. So, yes.
I was doing job interviews for people to join We Hack Purple sort of near the beginning of the pandemic. And I was visiting a friend and we're having like a social distance visit, but I was like, I have this one job interview. And so I'm in like one of her bedrooms doing the interview. And then this child comes running in and is like, wah. And they're like, oh, is that your child? I'm like, it's so not. And they're like, wait, you had a random child run into your office? I'm like, it's a long story. Anyway, you seem great for this role.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. So fun times. Thank you so much for being on the show. You were so great. And I feel like that you gave some really good advice, especially learn everything about things you love. Thank you so much
for having me. I feel like this is kind of like it was made for me. Like, it's We Hack Purple. Like, purple is my color.
Yes. Yes. And if you can't tell in the video, she has fantastic hair. Yes.
I love my beautiful
shade of violet. It's really, really nice. And unlike me, she actually dyes her whole hair. I'm lazy. I just do the ends. And it looks really great.
I'm all purple. All purple. It's just easy. I've been purple now for 7 years. So yeah, it's been a while.
We have a comment in the chat that children are incredible chaos engineers.
Yes, they are. They 100% are. They teach you everything you need to know about chaos. And if you are OCD, and I am actually clinically diagnosed as OCD and need to have control of things, they teach you very, very quickly that you do not have control.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Oh, well, thank you again. It's time to say goodbye. It feels like it's been 10 minutes, not 55.
Yeah, that went very, very fast. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. And we'll see you next time on We Hack Purple Thank you. Podcast. Thank you for coming to the We Hack Purple Podcast, where this week we interviewed Jess Dodson. And that was such an awesome conversation. And you should definitely follow her on Twitter. I know I do. It's @girlgerms. All one word. This week was sponsored by Ten Security, the awesome guys that created Defect Dojo. And that's right, we are still We Hack Purple, the academy, the community, and the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for having a great time with me and Jess, and we will see you next week.